So the question is praying for somebody. That's what our title is, and our message is on prayer. Mark 11 and 24 says, therefore I say unto you, and Jesus is talking to them. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In reading the context of the scripture, what is Jesus talking about? What is his remarks on? Of course, he's talking about specifically in that verse of scripture, prayer. And he's giving us, why our prayers can be answered. And he said two things in verse 23. We'll catch that here. He says, in the context, what is he saying that makes prayer work? In verse 24. Well, we know that faith is the key to every kind of prayer. And there's various kinds of prayers we make. And so the first prayer that we need to learn in our lives is the prayer of faith. And Mark 11, 24 is a good one. But in order for us to actually know what Mark 11, 24 is all about, we have to read the context of this scripture. And we'll certainly do that here in Mark 11, 24. Jesus said, believe. That is, he's talking to you as an individual that you should believe. Believe what? Believe whatever you're praying about. Why would you pray if you didn't believe anything? And your prayer has to be based on the Word of God, not on your emotions, not on anything else except God's Word. And so he said, believe. So you can always, or you can't always make this work for somebody else. You can't make Mark 11 and 24 work for anybody all the time, anytime, anywhere, anytime, any place. For instance, I would pray, Lord God, I just pray everybody here, give me $1,000. Well, that's not going to work. Some of you don't have it right away. You might have to go and get it from somewhere else. You don't have it in your pocket or in your bank account. You could have it. But the prayer of faith only works in a certain context. But faith works all the time. Except the prayer of faith doesn't work in every context. There's a difference between that. So we'll show you how what he's talking about. You can't always make the prayer work, just the prayer of faith work for everybody. And because you can't push your faith on everybody. You can't push what you believe about God and about the devil and life. You can't push that just off on anybody. Otherwise, you could just make that work and just force people and just pray whatever you want to pray about them. And you can't just always do that. So you can't push your faith or your will on somebody else. And God doesn't do that. He doesn't force his will on you. You have to be willing. Amen? So we can't make people do what we want them to do. That would be in violation of God's own word, his own will. Or we can force people to do anything against their will. Now, the devil will do that, but not God. And his word will not do that. It will not violate his own word. Let's go ahead and read Mark in context again. Mark 11, let's start from verse 22. You could read all the way from verse 12 and see Jesus' interaction with his disciples. And he had cursed a fig tree. He said, he spoke to the fig tree. He said, no one will eat fruit from you anymore. You can read from verse 12, but I'll get you to verse 22. And let's read from verse 22, Mark 11, 22. Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. Now, if you got a King James Version, you'll see a little mark, a little Aztec or something, a little mark in there. And it'll show you, it'll take you to the bottom of your page, and it'll give you the correct rendering of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, have the faith of God. You can't just have human faith, in other words. You can't just believe out of your head You got to have the faith of God. What kind of faith is that? Well, he begins to explain it in verse 23. The kind of faith that God has, or the God kind of faith. He says, "For verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he said." This is one person speaking to a mountain or any problem you have in your life. The mountain represents a situation or a problem that is big. Mountains are big. And you got to talk to it. You know, you got to start talking to your problems to make them disappear. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't talk about them and how, oh, look at this mountain so big. Look at my problems are so big. I can't ever get rid of them. No, you got to talk about it in context with God said. You got to say, this mountain's going to move because God said it's going to move. So he says two things about that verse of scripture in verse 23. Number one is that you have to believe in your own words. Amen. You have to speak, and you have to believe. You know, that's how faith is. You speak. You can either pray it, or you can speak it. Because when you pray, you do speak. So you have to speak. So therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire. So that's why he says therefore, because verse 23 says, whatever you say. In other words, whatever you say, you know, you have to believe what you say. Like sometimes people speak, they say a lot of things, but they don't believe it. You have to believe what you say. But it has to be in accordance with the Word of God. Amen? So there's two things, as I mentioned. He mentioned in verse 23. Number one is believe with your heart. That's the first principle of faith. For any person here, believe with your heart. Number one, believing with your heart means you're going to believe from your spirit. And your spirit does not depend on sense knowledge. Your spirit does not believe, doesn't base faith on how it feels, or if you felt the anointing, you felt good. Oh, man, I just feel good. God heard my prayer. No, well, that's not the way to base your faith. Whether you feel good or not, you believe with your spirit. You know, believing with your heart means believing. Now, this is the interpretation, or this is the understanding of it. Believing with the heart means you're believing with your spirit, and your spirit, you know, we don't depend on the sense knowledge evidence. Believing with your spirit means you don't believe in, you know, because your senses are telling you that something's true. You're believing based on what God said, not what your senses says, because we have five senses. How many of you have five senses? You could smell something, right? I could smell chicken right now. My imagination could smell. I could smell KFC down the road. And you can actually, you can feel. You know, you can feel something. You can feel whatever you feel. That's a sense, sensation. You can see. You can hear. You can taste. And those are, and smell. You can have all these and, you know, to tell you, indicate that something is there or whatever. But you don't use that when it comes to believing God. Come on, people. You don't use this when you believe in God. If you're going to use that, then you're going to be lost. Because things change all the time. But God never changes. Amen? He doesn't change this. He doesn't change anything. He keeps it the same. So that's why Jesus said, believe with your heart. That he says here, notice he says, be thou removed, this is verse 23, and shall, what is it? And be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So your heart is not your feelings. Your heart is not your soul. Your heart is not your body. So we're made of three parts. You don't believe with your soul, what you think about it, what you feel about things. You believe with your spirit. Then you believe with the inside. And so he says here, believe that those things which he said. Now, you can't just say anything you want to say. You have to say what the Bible says. You say you're born again, you're saved, because the Bible says you're saved, not because you saw Jesus in a vision. Otherwise, we'd all have to see Jesus in a vision. And the Bible doesn't promise that. So you have to base your believing on what the Bible says. Amen? So I was telling somebody today, I met somebody, and we had a conversation. You know, as a young Christian, I went to a church. I was raised a Catholic boy. I went to a Pentecostal church across the track. You know those kind of churches? Anyway, it was actually across the track. And I went there, and my friend took me there on the basis that he wants me to come and believe like him. He's a Pentecostal, wild-eyed Pentecostal. So I'm a good Catholic boy. I just go to services on Sundays. So anyway, I went there with him, and he said to me before that, he said, you know, I could pray for you to receive the Holy Ghost. You can pray in tongues. I said, I don't want that. I don't want you to pray for me, because only a priest can pray for me, because that's what we believe. Right. Only a priest could perform certain rituals and duties, and I didn't want him to pray for me, certainly not, knowing him anyway. You know, so anyway. But I told him before that, I said, I'll pray for about a month. I said, I'll pray about it. So I prayed a month every day. I went on my knees at night and said, Lord, this man says he can pray for me, have this, but I don't know about him. And he said, Jesus' mother, Mary, she received this, and I want it. If she had it, I want it. So I prayed like that for a month. So we ended up going to this church, and this pastor came by, and he... And after the service, you know, I was sitting in the second row of that church, and he walks up to me. He was a guest speaker, and he pointed to me. And when he pointed to me, my spirit jumped up in me. I've never sensed that spirit like that. You know, when it says under that Mary went over to see cousin Elizabeth, knocked on the door, and she greeted Mary, and she said her spirit jumped up. Well, that's the same sensation I had. My spirit jumped up. When he pointed at me, he said, young man, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you? I said to myself, how does he know that? I said, I don't know if my friend talked to him about this. Why don't he talk to him? But I didn't know it was what we call the word of knowledge, one of the gifts of the Spirit. And so I was happy about it. I mean, he didn't just have information. I had a spiritual feeling, experience, when you want to say that. When he said that to me, it was a big amen on the side of me. My spirit jumped up on the side of me. I knew it was more than just an emotion. It was a spiritual experience. God showing me, giving a strong witness. So he said, I'm going to be praying for people tonight. Would you come back tonight? And I'm going to pray for people. I was excited. So I came. I was working in Kenora. Was the very first job I had after graduation. So I said, I don't know if I could go there, man. I don't know if I have that kind of ability, because to stay up all day long and then drive to Kenora and go to work for 8:30 in the morning. So those services last a long time. I didn't know how long it was going to last. So anyway, make a long story longer, I went up to a prayer. And when I went to prayer, I had another spiritual experience. I went into a trance. And I just sensed the mighty rivers of God, and I heard the rivers, I heard the mighty wind of the Spirit, and I went into a trance and ended up in the heavenlies and had a taste of heaven, and I heard the mighty rivers, I heard the wind of the Spirit. I had all these experiences in that room, in that time that I went in that trance, and while I was in the trance, I went somewhere else, except I was not cognizant. I didn't realize there was somebody, everybody there with me. And so I come back to myself. I had this sensation of coming back. And I recognize I'm in a church service. And the Lord talked to me about different things that could put in my spirit at that time. And so anyway, I heard myself speaking in another language. My spirit was looking at my body or hearing my body pray in this language, this heavenly language, and had the most heavenly sensation, a taste of heaven while I was in that. And, you know, I couldn't describe it to you. So anyway, I went home. I went home that evening. I was driving back. I got up really early. I drove back to my work. And the devil spoke to me while I'm going to work, traveling to the Kenora, Ontario. And the devil said to me, "You've never experienced that thing. That never happened to you. It was just as real as you would be telling me right now." And the sensation of hearing that was the same sensation. You know what? Listen, the devil is a liar. He's very professional. Like, remember, Jesus was at the River Jordan, and Jesus had the sensation, and he saw the heavens open, and he saw the heavenly dove come upon him, and he heard the voice. Everyone heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved son." The next day, the devil comes to Jesus and challenges that experience he had at the River Jordan. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God," he tried to make him, doubt his own experience. That's how real the devil is. That's what he'll do. And he'll talk. He talks to people a lot of times, and you think it's just you talking to yourself. And you remember there's another story just like that. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'll share it anyway. When Peter was on the housetop in Acts chapter 10, he's praying, he fell into a trance. I believe it was there. I guess somebody said to him, "There's people waiting for you at the door," or the Lord said to him, "There's people coming to your door, and they're going to ask you to go with them." He says, "Go with them. Do not doubt." Now, he's having a spiritual experience, and God himself is talking to him, and the angel is there, and people, and he's having this experience. But why would God tell a man, Peter, to not doubt even while he's having this experience? Because when you come out of a spiritual experience, when you have an encounter with God, you're back in the natural. You have to deal with your own emotions, your own thoughts, and the devil's thoughts, and sort this all out while you're not always in the heavenly spiritual sense. You're not always in there, so you're dealing with this. So when it comes to faith, believing, like what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 or 24 there, because you always have to deal with your own feelings and voices in your mind and personal experiences you've had and the personal experience of everybody and personal experience of your denomination, and personal experience of your culture and everything else. And you have to sift through that and have to go back to God's word and say, what does the word of God have to say about this situation? And I told people before, and they've asked me questions, I said, I would never have gone into the ministry if God didn't give me those several experiences I've had with him. Like when I was at the University of Manitoba, I was telling this guy my testimony today. I was driving back from a course, I had a business course on a Thursday night. I'm driving in my car, and Jesus comes in my car. And he says to me, what are you going to do with a PhD when I've called you into the ministry? And I had to answer that question, and I went through an experience with God, with him. And then I went home and told my wife, "Well, here's what I had." And so that's how we got into the ministry. You know, the calling is a supernatural calling. And the reason why God gives you these encounters is because you will have trouble in dealing with your own self and dealing with other people's opinions and different things in your life. You have to be convinced for yourself that God called you. Can you say amen? Because that's what's going to happen. And that's what we're talking about here, praying for other people. And because you have to deal with your own beliefs, this situation, and anybody else, or in life, different circumstances. So, let me just say here, quit talking to me while I'm preaching here. Anyway, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you, what things soever you desire." He didn't say what your neighbor desires. He didn't say what your wife desires. He said whatever you desire when you pray. So this thing works for yourself most of the time, but not always with everybody else or for everybody else, because not everybody is going to believe what you believe. You can believe what you believe because you're believing for something, and not everybody's going to have your desire, and you can't push your desire on anybody else. Are you still here? So it says, So the prayer of faith, Jesus is speaking here in Mark 11, 24, the prayer of faith, and this is mainly a prayer that you pray for yourself. If you're going to add anything else on, you're going to have to add other prayers and understand the rules of those prayers as well. So the prayer of faith is it's believing prayer, or it's called believing prayer. It's not just praying or prayer. It's believing prayer. There's a difference between just praying and believing prayer. Jesus makes a distinction in his discussions. It's not wishing something's going to happen. It's not hoping something's going to happen. It's not thinking about what's going to happen. It's not begging God to do something. It's not crying about a situation. It's standing on God's word, praying and standing on God's word, what he said in his word. Because you'll be challenged when you pray about something. So, the prayer of faith is calling those things which be not as though they were. You know, our father Abraham, if you read history and you understand about him, he believed he was a father of many nations before he had a kid. God called him a father of many nations before he was ever. In fact, he couldn't have children. His wife couldn't have children. So there are things in your life that you're going to be praying about that are maybe hard situations that are impossible for you or the other person. That's going to be tough. It's not always easy praying and believing things. If it was easy, everybody would snap your finger right now and you'd have it right now. And you can't always push your will on somebody else. And you can't always use this prayer for everybody else. If you're going to, you're going to have something else here. Jesus said, whatsoever you desire when you pray. So you can apply the prayer of faith. The question is, when can you apply this prayer of faith for other people? So you need to get permission from another person to pray this prayer for them. Usually it's someone who's not a believer that you can use this prayer on, or it's somebody who's a genuine baby Christian who has not had the opportunity to grow in the things of God. They don't know anything about spiritual things. You can carry someone on your own faith like you would carry your own children up to a certain point. And up to a certain point, God will want you to stand on your own two feet. You know, this is my belief. You can believe what you want to believe, but this is me. I don't believe that prayer lines in churches is a standard that God wants for believers. I believe that people should believe the word themselves. That's where we should be. Now, notwithstanding that, the situation that not everybody is at that level. So we do pray for people who don't know enough. So don't say, I don't believe in praying for people. Or that, you know, you should lay hands on folks. You should be. Now, you don't have to have anybody lay hands on you if you want to believe God for your own healing. You can believe yourself, stand on the word. That's the best way to do it. Because what if no one's around you? What if you can't get an elder? What if nobody has oil? You know, like what if there's no church? And it's you, and you have to believe yourself. So I believe we've got to get to the point in our lives as a Christian individual and churches that to come to a place, you know, where we come to the place where we believe we're strong people in the Lord. Because lots of times, you know, sadly, to see that there's all we have is services where we just pray for people and hope that they'll be okay. And we got to come to a different level. James says, is any money sick among you? You know, saying that, you know, if there happened to be. That's not a standard. It's a question that there could be. Maybe there might be one. I don't know. There could be. So, in Matthew chapter 18 and 19, Jesus adds, he says this, you know, we need permission from people to pray for them. Like, you don't always have to tell them, listen, I'm working on a in our principle, spiritual principle here, and I'm going to show you. You don't even just tell them, like sometimes, because they say, can I pray for you? I would like to pray for you. You say, okay. Sometimes all you need is them to say, okay. They give you permission. You say, can I park my car here? No, don't park your car. Go park it over there. So you can't park there. You need permission for different things, right? So here Jesus said, I also tell you, Matthew 18:19, I'm reading the New Living. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask. Now you have to ask together. My Father which is in heaven will do it for you. So that's called the prayer of agreement. You have to pray together and ask together, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus together that we pray on this thing. Yes, amen, we're believing for this. And that's the way it'll work. Sometimes people do this with, pray for me, agree with me, and they walk away. Well, that's not the way you do it. If you want it to work, right? So we just do things like cliche sometimes. So Amos says, how can two walk together if they don't agree? Supplications, you know, the Bible calls supplications and intercessions to make a distinction of two things in the scriptures. They're two different separate things. You know, intercession mainly is for people who don't know God. Supplications for people who know God, but they need your prayer. Because sometimes we get into trouble and we need other people to help us, right? And we do need people to help us. So if look at here, Ephesians 6:18, this is in the context of spiritual battles and we need prayer. It says pray in the spirit. Well, how do you pray in the spirit? This is the NLT. It says praying in the spirit. The King James says praying in the spirit. And then the Ephesians 6:18 says praying in the spirit at all times. So what does the term praying in the spirit mean? Does that mean you just use a little bit more inf? Like, let's just pray really hard. Let's pray in the spirit. Oh, let's get excited. That's praying in the spirit. That's not what it means. The Bible interprets itself. You know, I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians, I think it's 14. It talks about there when we, I think it's verse, let's look at that scripture for a second. Can you go to, I don't have it on my notes here, so I'm just going to go refer back to it. This is something that I was thinking about. We talk about praying in the spirit. Because somebody was researching this, and they asked us a question, and they asked other ministers what it meant. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Let me just, I'll read it in the King James. I like the King James on this one, but we'll go back to the other version. It says here, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. The word unknown, it's the translators added that there, thinking they'd help us, but sometimes they kind of hinder us because they make us think about something else. He says, speaking, he that speaks in a tongue. You know, they added unknown because it's, you know, you don't understand. When you're praying in tongues automatically, you don't understand what you're saying. Neither does the someone beside you understand what you're saying. But God does. He understands it because the Spirit is praying through you. The other scriptures say, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, so you're not talking to humans, but when you speak in tongue, you're speaking unto God. So speaking in tongues is speaking to God, and you're not even talking to the devil either. You're talking to God. So for no man understands them, notice this, how be it in the spirit. So he's using the term in the spirit in association with praying in tongues. So the best way to get into the spirit, I was taught, is to start praying in tongues. Especially when you want to look for, when you're praying about, especially when you don't know how to pray about certain things, so you pray in tongues to check if the Spirit would tell you something or lead you to something. If he doesn't lead you to something, just go ahead and use what you know already. Stay with what you know in the scripture. So sometimes when you're praying for individuals, you don't always know. They might not even always know what they need. But the Spirit does. He knows everybody. Amen? And so that's why we pray in the Holy Spirit, because he's the one, he's our helper. I mean, most of my praying, I would say 90%, 95% of my praying is praying in tongues. And the other percentage is praying the Word of God. It's getting the scriptures and praying those scriptures out. No, he's praying from my head because it never works. I mean, at least if my head is in the Word, then it's going to work, right? Yours is going to work too. So praying in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, I mean, we got to include praying in tongues with any time we pray. It says praying in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. I'm reading the LNT again. You'll see this again another time. Supplication, Ephesians 6:18. Let's go to the King James. So praying in tongues means praying in the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 14:2. He equates in the Spirit with praying in tongues, and you'll see that description. And you'll see that time and time in the Scriptures. And so because we don't always know what to do when we're praying for somebody else or praying for ourselves. And so here, Ephesians 6:18, let's read it in the King James Version, 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Paul, after talking about this, spiritual battles here, he says, praying always with all prayer. Why didn't he just say praying all the time? Why did he just say with all prayers? Because there's all kinds of praying. There's not just one kind of praying. Because sometimes you pray for other people. Sometimes you pray for lots of people. Sometimes you pray for your own needs. Sometimes you pray for somebody else's need. I can't offer myself, or I can't offer you to God on behalf of myself. Everyone has to come to God themselves and offer themselves to God. Amen. Say, okay, you know what? Ernie's not doing too good here. He's very carnal. Let's say Ernie was carnal. Ernie, I'm not telling you you're carnal. I mean, you could be sometimes with all that chicken eating him. Anyway, let's say anybody. And I say, I'm just going to offer them up to God. I'm just going to make them obey God. I can't do it. You can do it. I like to do that for every one of my kids. And everybody I know, I just make them come to God right now and serve 100% and do what God wants them to do. But we can't do it that way. So he says here, praying all with all prayer. So we have to understand all prayer and understand what that means in the context of what does it mean, all prayer, or all kinds of prayer that the Amplified says. And supplicating, notice this, supplicating in the Spirit. Is that just a play on words, or why did he answer that, say that? Because you do supplicate in the Spirit with tongues. You pray with tongues. You pray with the help of the Spirit. And notice this, supplicating in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We don't know all saints, but God does. And he knows every need of every saint. So you can use your faith for other people when they agree with you, when they want you to pray for them. And you go together with the Scriptures and say, okay, let's pray on the basis of this word, because the word says that we can pray on the basis of this word. Now, we have to take our own needs to God. Every one of us, you know, it would be sad if I had to take all your needs. I'll just sit here all day at church and I'll take. Give me your prayer request. What's your prayer? Give it to me. I'll take it. I'll take care of that. Well, that would be impossible. We can't do that to everybody. And make everybody pray our prayers. You have your own spiritual responsibility. You pray for your own needs. Because the Bible tells us that. Notice this, Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. This is the King James. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. So in other words, God's expecting you to pray. Take your own personal request to God and let God, you and God, have a talk about them. And you can take them and say, God, I'm giving you this. You know, one of the things I do every morning, especially you know, sometimes I'm more aware of it than other times. You know, the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, I offer my body to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is my reasonable act of worship. I'll not be conformed to this world, but I'll be conformed by the renewing of my mind to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I pray that. So, Lord, this morning I offer my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to you. You know, when you offer your body a living sacrifice, it has to do with all your own desires that your body wants you to. Maybe you have problems with eating, overeating or something. Those are desires from your body. You say, God, I'm giving you this, my body. My body, maybe I like to drink alcohol. Maybe I like to smoke. I don't know what it, maybe it likes to be lazy. I don't know what it is. You know, whatever. I have to take my body and I'm going to have to go and serve God with it. I don't want to go to church tonight, but I'm taking it to church. You're going to church. Okay, come on, go to church. So I offer my body a living sacrifice. Could mean a whole lot of things. It's a lot of stuff you don't want to do. It's a sacrifice to do. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, which is my reasonable act of worship. And I will not be conformed to this world, but I'll be conformed to the renewing of my mind to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And Lord, I thank you that I cast every care that I have in my life on you. I'm praying the prayer of casting my care upon God. I'm praying the prayer of casting my care on the Lord. Philippians 4:6 right here. I'm casting every care on you. My care about my health, care about my physical needs, care about my ministry, care about my business, care about my work, care about my children. I'm not going to worry a thing about my children. If something happens, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be shaken. I think it's Psalm 123 says that those that trust in God shall never be shaken, shall never be moved. I got unshakable peace. I got unshakable faith. Why? Because I'm trusting in God. Those that put their trust in God. And there's one scripture that says, I think it's 26 somewhere, it says, I will never be afraid of bad news because I trust in you. So I just cast my care on God. God, I'm giving you this care right now. And I pray, Psalm 23rd Psalm says, I will not be afraid. I shall not be afraid. I stop having anxiety attacks. I will not be afraid. You know, so we do that every day. Pretty soon you know you're going to be strong. The Bible says, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Courageous means, doesn't mean the absence of fear. It just means that in spite of fear, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Isn't that wonderful? We can live this way every day. Jesus said, do not be afraid. And people are afraid all the time. What Trump is going to do? What if the devil shows up? What if there's a rapture? I'm not afraid of the rapture. I'm looking for the rapture. And I'm not going to be left behind. You know, it's not, people are afraid of a lot of things they don't understand. God wants us to be in peace. So Philippians 4:6 does not say that we take our cares, your cares, everybody's cares. No, we can pray for each other, but the responsibility here really says you take your own prayer request. And I don't know, if you're here and you don't have a prayer life, you need to have a prayer life. You know, when people say, go get a life, you just add prayer to it. Right? Go get a prayer life. You know? So here's something that we need to understand. In a time of crisis, we need other people to help us. But you're not having a crisis every day. So there's times that we do ask for prayer, and we should ask for people pray. That's when we should pray for other people. Like I had a call from another friend of mine. He says, you know, can you pray for me? I was like, whoa. He's just asking me for prayer, you know. It was a need in the family, and I said, okay, I'll pray. And I prayed right away. I said, wife, let's pray right now, because I could forget. Let's pray right now. And we joined hands. I read scripture. Let's pray for this person right now in the name of Jesus. And it's good to do it right away. If somebody says to pray for you and pray in a certain way, then we can respond to them. So, I wanted to show you something here from the scripture. Let's go here, just quickly, really quickly. The Bible says that God hears our prayers. You have to understand that God hears all your prayers all the time. He says here, Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hears the voice, my voice and my prayer for mercy. You know, we need mercy every day. It says the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. His mercy is every day. Amen. Every day. Jeremiah 29, 12. In those days when you pray, I will listen to you. I will hear you. God says. God hears you when you pray. You have to have that faith that God will hear you. Now, they always want to come to the professional pastor. You pray for me. Now, I said, wait a minute. God will hear you just as much as he hears my prayer. I want you to know that God hears you. You don't have to go to pray to ask Joel Osteen to pray for you, Benny Hinn or anybody else or Copeland or anybody else, Joyce Meyer. God will hear you. I said, God will hear you. Because you care about your own prayers. And thank God somebody can help you for a while. But there's a time when God wants you to pray. I would say this. The happiest day in your life is when you understand that God hears you when you pray. Here's another scripture for you. Is that good enough? Okay. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked. How many wicked we have here? Nobody. But he hears the prayer of the righteous. Amen. Now the question is, how many righteous here? If you're born again, you're righteous. I used to say this, you know, remember James, you know, the prayer of faith, you know, we'll save the sick. I think it was the Lord shall raise him up. You know, it says that he hears the prayer of the righteous or something in verse 15 or 16. The prayer of the righteous avails much. I said, I wish I was righteous. But no, I'm righteous right now. Amen. And if you're born again, you're righteous right now. You'll never be any more righteous than the day you were born again. Now, you might have got off fellowship and made some errors, but you're still righteous before God. Jesus made you righteous. And you know, when you sin, you get off fellowship and you lose sight because you're focused now and guilt has taken this place and you feel guilty and maybe condemned in yourself. But God will, it's not God telling you that, it's your own heart telling you that you need to get right with God. God does not condemn you. He condemned Jesus for you. One guy said amen. But anyway, one more scripture. Let's put it up there, Mr. Technical Guy. Let's go to, I don't have it on here, but I want to show you this one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I want us to look at that scripture. I want to be 10 more minutes. Is that okay with you guys? Is that right? Okay, so I'll give you some of your tithe back. No, I'm just kidding. No. Listen, do you find it? Okay, for the eyes of the Lord are over the what? The righteous. You know, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says that you're righteous. If you're in Christ, you know, if any man be in Christ is righteous. Verse 21 says that he was made to be, you know, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness is have right standing with God. That's our position. He says in here, that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. In other words, God is listening for you to pray tonight, right now. He's listening if you're going to say something to him. And then he says, but to face the Lord against them that do evil, but he's open to your prayers. His eyes and his ears are on you right now. He didn't say, the eyes of the Lord are on Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or whoever your favorite preacher is. You know, we want you to know that you can pray and God will hear your prayer. Now, I'm not trying to say this in a very, how would we say that, sarcastic way, but I want you to, God wants you to know so much that you can pray and you can believe God and you don't have to wait for the next supernatural prayer service that's coming on in our city. The next flash evangelist coming. You can do this at home. And you don't need an expert. You're the expert when you got the word of God, right? So make sure. There's a situation I wanted to mention there in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. It was a man. It says here his name. What is his name? Philip. It was Peter. Okay, so it's about that time Herod stretched out his hands to vex certain of the church. This is the 12th chapter there. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to the four quarters of the soldiers that were to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Notice this, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So, the King James says that they was making supplication for him. There was a prayer going out for this man. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door. The door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them. In other words, when they're praying, God sent an angel there. And the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, go up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. That's all supernatural. That's amazing how that can happen. The chains fall off a guy. He's got chains on, and angels showed up. Light shines in there. Supernatural. An angel is a person from heaven. The angel said unto him, "Gird up thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did, and he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and he follow me." And he went out, followed him, and it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought it had a vision. Verse 9, so a real angel came there, but he disappeared. Now, the song of we all heard Mark Davies coming in a few weeks, visit us. He told me this, and he told a different one of you or one of the servers when he went over to did one of his missionary journeys. I believe it was Africa, and it was a very conflicting time during lots of stuff was going on there where that country was going. And he went to that place, and there was some underground churches in that place because a very unstable country time. And during that time, so he went there. He said he's walking around in that country. I can't remember what that country. Maybe I'll have to find out which one it was. But he's walking around that country in downtown in a shopping, like a shopping. I don't know how the outdoor things they have there. So he said, "I'm walking around trying to find this pastor that I'm supposed to find this guy. So we have to go do something." So a guy walks up to him. Taps on the shoulder. He said, "I know who you're looking for." "Who am I looking for?" He says, because he's afraid that these spies out there, they have different ones that they'll bring you to their justice, whatever. So he says, "Okay, follow me." He said, I was kind of afraid of this guy. He might trick me." He said, "Come follow me." So they went together. He said, they followed him in another vehicle, and they got to another place. So he got off the car, and he said, "I'll show you where that other pastor, the underground church, is." So they went to that place, and he was about to meet this pastor, and he said, the guy disappears in a second, bang, just like that. He said, just like this here, right here. An angel comes in, and he disappears. Like, these things happen. And we've heard different stories of how this happened. The angel helps people, crashing or whatever, and angel comes out and helps them out and gives them a word. He can send you a message from heaven. Give you a message from heaven. So he went out and followed him, and he wist not. In other words, he disappeared. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate and led out to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through on the street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "I now know it assuredly that God, the Lord, had sent an angel, and he delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." We didn't consider this thing. He came and found Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Thank God for supernatural prayer, right? And Peter knocked on the door at the gate, and the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. She later appeared on Mary Tyler Moore. No, I'm just kidding. Remember that? Remember that show, Mary Tyler Moore? That's the first time I heard that name. That was a cool name. Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad. You're crazy." But she constantly affirmed them, and it was even so. And they said, "It's an angel. His angel." But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. Now, these people here seem like they didn't even believe their own prayer. They're praying for a guy dying, going to be dying. But when they saw it, you can understand it, right? I can't believe this. This can't be true. But it's amazing how can things happen, you know? I'm so amazed in supernatural prayer. So when we're praying the prayer of faith, just don't force your prayer on somebody else. Get people's agreement on something. And you can't just force that on anybody. And so I want to make you avoid disappointment by trying to pray something on somebody and make them. There's other ways to do that. And you can supplicate and pray intercessions for people. Sometimes people will never get out of stuff unless we pray for them. You know, they'll never get saved, never, because there's been demonic forces against them. We need to pray. Let's go ahead and stand up. I took too much of your time already. I try to be, sometimes I go a little longer. But I wanted to, my main point tonight, really, I got lost in some things. That the main thing is that God hears your prayer. But he's not going to hear your prayer on for somebody else just because you want to force them to do something. You know, so they have to have an encounter for themselves, for God. And we got to pray for them. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for those that we're standing in faith for, family members that have difficulties. Maybe they're having home situations, marriage situations, family disorder. Children that are off running on their own without Jesus. They're out there. They're doing okay, but they're away from Jesus. And that's not okay. Some of them are just right out there serving the devil, doing whatever the devil wants them. They're caught in traffic. And so we're praying and standing for them. Lord, we want to let you know that we're standing in faith, steadfast for them. And you said that you hear our prayers and that you will respond and you will send an angel. You will send somebody who will hear them. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Can you do that? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray the will of God right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray the will of God. Father, we pray in the will of God for all these situations that we have on our hearts right now. We lift them up to you in prayer. We lift our hearts to you, dear God. Supernatural intelligence, supernatural intervention.